Next case this morning is, and the last case this morning, is Sullivan v. Village of McFarland. Mr. Fox.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Peter Fox. I'm representing the appellant, Shannon Sullivan, in this case. We brought this appeal because we believe that the district court applied too rigid and flexible a standard of evaluating the similarly situated requirement of Ms. Sullivan's prima facie case.
We think Fox, if we agreed with you on all of that and jumped all the way to the pretext part of this well-established analysis, how can we say that the village was offering a pretextual reason when its responsible officials thought that she had seen the vast majority of this? She certainly saw the car go out of control and jump the curb, and they thought that was significantly unsatisfactory behavior, regardless of what anyone else was doing. How can we say that's a pretextual reason to let go of a probationary officer?
Well, if we have to look at the totality of the circumstances here.
And in looking
at this and establishing pretext, we have a number of factors to consider, some of which were ignored at the district court level. Ms. Sullivan is in, first of all, is in a male, traditionally male-dominated profession. She was one of two females employed by McFarland and the only female probationary officer employed by McFarland.
How many officers did they employ?
I believe 12, and if I'm incorrect, I assume Mr. Curtis can correct me. She engaged in near identical conduct as her male colleagues.
That depends how you characterize it, because of course you've got some differences. There doesn't seem to be any dispute about the fact that Officer Maurer didn't see the car spin out of control. He drives past and he's not even sure if it's on the lawn or where it is. You know, and I guess there's a video from his car, and it does seem that the police chief, Police Chief Leck, and Lieutenant O'Dell themselves thought that her ability to observe what had happened to the other person, I'm forgetting his name.
Michael Clements.
What happened to Officer Clements? She saw it, they didn't. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing being the only woman in the middle of a male-dominated world, but on the other hand, it's not a free pass, you know, to fail to live up to the standards of performance that are accepted.
Well, I think you hone in on the key issue, and I think it's the issue that the district court honed in on as well. I think that was interpreted incorrectly. What we have is initially, and I believe we pointed out in our brief that Lieutenant O'Dell, when he was deposed and under sworn and providing sworn testimony, stated that the reason Ms. Sullivan was fired was because she observed another officer in a collision, in a crash. Our interpretation of the defendant's initial brief on summary judgment seemed to articulate the exact same reason for Ms. Sullivan's termination, was that she observed a fellow police officer in a collision or a crash. Suddenly, on their reply brief, they're stating it's irrelevant whether she saw the crash, she saw enough to merit termination.
But, you know, in the first page of the defendant's brief in support of their motion for summary judgment, this is just in the second paragraph, what it says is Sullivan witnessed fellow officer Michael Clements lose control of his squad car. And then it relates what happened, but it's phrased in terms of lose control of. And it's hard to see why the chief couldn't think that that was an event worthy of at least radioing in. You know, looks, he's spun out.
Well, what we're asking in terms of comparing her to Mr. Maurer is we're not disputing that she saw something. She stated as much in her initial incident report.
She saw a fair amount, actually. She sees it jump the curb.
Right. And what Ms. Sullivan testified to was that she believed he was going to resume the pursuit of this in response to this 1080 emergency call when Officer Maurer passed him.
Right, but you see, that's, I think, the point at which the record suggests that the chief thinks that's not a correct or reasonable assumption. If you see that much happen, you need to make sure that the person inside the car is okay. I mean, it is a fairly, it could knock you around, you know, it could, you know, you could have whiplash, you could have all sorts of things, even before we get to the crash.
Okay, well, I hope I'm answering your question, and if I'm not, please let me know. I'm sure you will, but they've terminated Ms. Sullivan for failing to render aid to an officer.
Right.
And what we think that the totality of the evidence shows is that she was in between a rock and a hard place either way. What if she had stopped and not given aid to an officer for whom she was now the only car, apparently, in response to requests for assistance? She was now the lead person. What she thought was her supervisor had either pulled himself out of the chase or, she thought, waited for the next officer to pass her. She was responding to a call. His lights were still activated. He did not radio out for any assistance. She did not see him crash. She proceeded on the call. Meanwhile, we have another officer following a few seconds, maybe a few minutes afterwards. And what he sees is a car. For a split second, he sees a car, which turns out to be a police vehicle. He knew it was a police vehicle at the time. There were three vehicles in service that evening for McFarland. So it had to be one of the two that were in the chase with Mr. Maurer responding to a call for assistance. He sees it in its final state, up against a tree in the front lawn of a parking lot in wintry conditions. That's pretty unusual. He didn't radio. He didn't call out. He didn't he didn't call and ask the officer if he was okay. He didn't stop.
What you just described is he sees a car at rest, other than the fact it's maybe on the lawn, and he doesn't do anything. But she actually sees the accident, right?
No, she doesn't see the accident.
You mean it wasn't an accident going backwards over the curb?
She saw him skid from side to side, hit the curb. She did not see him spin out. This is an officer who's also in this.
Wait a minute. Now, if you hit the curb backwards and go up over it, that's not an accident?
Well, Your Honor, what I'm saying is that Ms. Sullivan was behind Lieutenant Clements when he spun out. She saw the part of the accident that she has testified to and is contained in the report. Her statement was she did not know he was involved in a collision or an accident. She checked she passed him during the part of him spinning out. She checked the road to make sure that she was not going to spin out and get in an accident and hit him, looked in the rearview mirror, and saw his car still facing her, possibly up on the curb, but not hitting anything and in no collision. And she proceeded safely towards her destination, which was to respond to a call for assistance.
And did not use the radio to...
And did not use her radio, the same thing that her male colleague did. And I see that the light is on, and I'd like to make a couple of points before I turn this over to Mr. Curtis. One, we also have a situation where when Ms. Sullivan was terminated, she was replaced by her supervisor, a male who stepped into her position. This was something that the district court did not consider at all and did not address at all in the order. We also, in response to the question of pretext, we also have incidents where males historically have been given notice of performance deficiencies. They've been coached on their performance deficiencies, and they've been given every opportunity to fix them. Ms. Sullivan was told next to her male colleague in the same room, this was a rookie mistake. It won't happen again. And it didn't. But that was it. There was no documentation. She was never warned that she might be terminated. A few weeks later, she was. She wasn't afforded the same opportunities that her male colleagues had been in the past. With that, I will leave the rest room for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. Curtis?
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Paul Curtis. I represent the defendants, Chief Leck, Lieutenant O'Dell, and the McFarland Police Department. We think the facts of this case are pretty simple and straightforward. Shannon Sullivan was a probationary police officer on the evening of December 20, 2003. Early morning, I'm sorry. She witnessed Lieutenant Clements. He skidded, went from side to side across the road. I think her testimony is she saw him While he was trailing 40 miles per hour, lost control of his squad car, spun around 180 degrees, hit the curb, jumped the curb, and went, quote, off the road. That's what she saw. Yet she did nothing. She didn't radio Lieutenant Clements just to see if he was okay. She didn't stop. She didn't radio Maurer, who was coming just a little bit behind. He was seconds or minutes behind. She didn't radio the dispatcher to alert the dispatcher. Somebody needs to check on Clements to see if he's okay. She did none of that. She continued on. Now, that's from her deposition testimony. There is no dispute that Officer Maurer saw nothing. That was a fact that we presented at the district court level, and that was a fact that the plaintiffs admitted.
I guess there is a little bit of a dispute about what Officer Maurer should have known, because I guess there's, at least as I understand it, there's some indication that there are only three squad cars, and if one of them's up on the lawn, it really, by process of elimination, has to belong to Clements.
Right, and I appreciate that. What Mr. What Officer Maurer testified at his deposition is, and keep in mind, this is in the dark. You know, this is 1 a.m. in the morning.
Sure, it's the middle of the night, yeah.
Middle of the night. It's wintertime. There's snow on the ground. He's going 40 miles per hour. He's got his lights flashing. You know, that creates some visual disturbance as well. He sees a squad car. He doesn't deny that. He says, yeah, I saw a squad car for a split second. Boom. Do I know it's a McFarland police car? No, I don't know that. Question from the other side was, well, you only have three, you know, two of them are ahead of you, it's got to be one. He said, yeah, that's reasonable to understand that, but it's not unusual to see squad cars from other jurisdictions in our town. So it could have been.
McFarland's pretty close to Madison, isn't it?
Very. Yeah, it's a two-minute drive.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's just a suburb of Madison. So it could have been from another jurisdiction. So he doesn't know at that time, and you know, keep in mind, nobody radios him. Nobody alerts him to the fact that an accident just took place. And he didn't see any of it. If you look at that video tape that we provided, that shows you that he saw nothing. You take a look at that. It's enlightening. So he continued on just as Officer Sullivan did. And that's the focus of this case. The focus of this case is not on what happened, you know, with other officers before Officer Sullivan was hired. I mean, that's apples and oranges. I think if you look what Judge Crabb did with this, she recognized that. This is apples and oranges. She, Shannon Sullivan, was terminated for dereliction of duty. Those other officers, I mean, throwing a Mountain Dew bottle, calling somebody a butthead in a report, I mean, that's apples and oranges. Got nothing to do with what happened on the evening of the 20th.
What if she had stopped, hypothetically, if she had stopped to give aid to or see what the situation was with that officer, and the response call officer who needed assistance, something would have happened there that would have been catastrophic. Would she have been subject to criticism for having stopped and not gone to the assistance of the other, not continued in the original mission?
No, and she would not have, because her training is fellow officers and citizens take first priority, and she admits to that in the facts below. She admits she had that training. She admits to that fact, that officers and citizens come first. These chases come second. There is no affirmative duty to continue with the chase. And in this case, this is a 1080 chase. It's a pursuit of a motorist. In this case, my recollection is it was turned out to be a DUI, somebody who just simply wasn't pulling over.
Who was chasing the DUI suspect?
It was a Dane County officer, Your Honor.
I wonder if you only had three cars there were.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was a Dane County officer. So he was coming from Madison, I believe, into the McFarland jurisdiction.
So she's a probationary officer, so she has no union protection or anything here.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
Had she been a full-fledged officer, it's pretty unlikely to me that could have fired her for this. If she had union protection, that this would be just cause.
Yeah, and that's hard for me to say. That's a good point. But keep in mind that Lieutenant Clements, who's a 13-year male on the force, he was suspended for losing control of his car.
Right.
So
he voluntarily stepped down in rank, too, didn't he?
He did voluntarily step down in rank. It had nothing to do with this particular event. This is a case where Lieutenant Clements, I think he had been a lieutenant for a year or two, and he finally said, I don't like being in charge. I don't like being the supervisor. I prefer my patrol officer duties. And he requested to Chief Fleck, would it be okay if I stepped down?
It's kind of like a court of appeals judge saying I'd rather be on a district court.
Right.
Right.
As by a 2-1 vote.
So I guess those are our main points. If you focus on the actual events, what Sullivan saw and what Maurer saw are two different things. Sullivan admits that Maurer saw nothing. She saw an accident, was terminated for doing nothing. Officer Maurer did not see an accident, and he wasn't punished at all because he saw nothing and had no reason to believe that this even occurred. The chief did what he was supposed to do. He conducted a post-accident investigation, sought counsel of Lieutenant Clements, sought counsel of Lieutenant O'Dell, and terminated the plaintiff, and that's it. So we think the district court decision should be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Curtis.
Thank you.
Mr. Fox? You have 1 minute, Mr. Fox.
As brief as I possibly can in 1 minute. Just pointing out a couple of things. One, Officer Maurer did not testify during his deposition that cars from other municipalities go through there all the time. What he testified to, that it was unusual, number one, to see a police car in a parking lot or in the yard of the daycare center. He also testified that it would be extremely unusual for another jurisdiction's police car, to be parked in that location. That's what he testified to. And we did not admit that he saw nothing. I think we talked at great length about that when I first came up here earlier. But we did not admit that he didn't see anything. What we admitted is that he didn't see an accident. We believe he had reason to stop, as much reason as Ms. Sullivan did, if not more. He knew that there was a car proceeding in response to this pursuit. He knew there was a car ahead of him responding to the 1080 request for assistance, yet he continued on that despite knowing that this car was parked in the lawn of a daycare center.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning. Yeah.